This podcast is sponsored by Ball in Maidstone, your brand new luxury sports and gaming bar with American pool, table tennis, beer pong, live sports, delicious food, and bottomless brunches. Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. On Wednesday, February the 2nd, Jules fans, you will definitely want to stay listening. But first, Kent has had a visit from royalty today. The Prince of Wales and Duchess of Cornwall have been in the county. Charles and Camilla's first stop was on the Isle of Sheppey, where they visited Sheppey Matters and were greeted by a community choir. They met those involved in the community chef food truck and a community bus. The couple were also introduced to a Syrian family who've been helped by a refugee charity to settle here. Mike Brown is trustee and founder of Sheppey Matters.
Today's been amazing. I mean, really, we couldn't, in our wildest dreams, think we'd get a royal visit. And it's just been, not for me, very proud, but for the staff and the volunteers. It's just a wonderful, if you like, reward for all their hard work and their teamwork, especially the last couple of years through the pandemic, where they've been involved in the community, looking after isolated people, and just generally giving service. I'm so proud of them, and I'm so pleased they've had this opportunity today to be recognised by royalty.
Did you get a chance to meet them?
I did, yes. Obviously the shaking hands, but on the way round, little sort of chats and comments about some of the projects. I explained to Her Royal Highness the Sheppey Lace, what happened to that, and I understand, I think Nigel explained about the Richard Montgomery to Prince Charles.
Following that visit, the couple carried out separate engagements, with Charles heading to Elmley Nature Reserve, while Camilla went to Battersea Dogs and Cats Home. The Duchess of Cornwall is patron of the charity and was greeted by staff at their base near Brands Hatch and a doggy guard of honour. She also went on a woodland walk with Battersea Ambassador Paul O'Grady and a rescue dog waiting to be rehomed. The Duchess's own rescue dogs were invited to join a training challenge. Prince Charles, meantime, headed to the historic dockyard in Chatham, 2 days before it reopens to visitors after the winter break. It's his first visit there since 2013, and he was greeted by local sea cadets before getting a tour of some of the site's main attractions. The Prince was also the first to see the new Diving Deep exhibition about HMS Invincible, while Admiral Sir Trevor Saw is chairman of the Chatham Historic Dockyard Trust, and I spoke to him ahead of the visit.
His Royal Highness is our patron anyway, so he's coming back, and every time he comes back, we've made significant progress in different areas. So the Command of the Oceans is the main gallery that he hasn't seen. So, but it's a huge pleasure, not just for me and the rest of the team, but every day we're open, and we're open from this Saturday. So we look forward to seeing as many people as we can in the forthcoming season. It's going to be a very exciting season.
We know how difficult it's been for all of the tourist industry and the whole sector throughout the pandemic, but how much of a boost will this visit give just days, as you say, before you reopen again to the public for the season?
I think it'll be a tremendous boost. I mean, clearly last year and the year before, we were significantly impacted by COVID, by the fact that people couldn't come and visit us. So we're hoping now that the restrictions have at least eased, that people will be, you know, ready to come visit the dockyard, see the changes, and just have a great time.
Can't remember the last time the Prince of Wales was actually there. Was it too long ago?
It was 2013, his last visit, when he actually opened number one Smithery, which is our permanent exhibition hall. And so he will have seen quite a lot of changes. I'm looking forward. I met him clearly when I was in the Royal Navy, but I've never met him in my current role as chairman of the Historic Dockyard. So I'm looking really forward to showing him how proud we are of this place and its people.
I'm sure you can't tell us too much about the sorts of conversations, but do you have a nice conversation when you do get to meet him? Because he must be very interested in the work that you're doing.
I'm fortunate. I've met him quite a few times. And when I was captain of actually HMS Chatham, I took him to see, we did Expo 98, and I've met him a few times as well when I was the Commander-in-Chief of the Navy. So most of the Roars are very much at ease in a naval background, clearly because of their own background. So it'd be great to see him again and great to show him what we do here.
While at the dockyard, Charles also popped to the Copper Rivet Distillery. It's set in a former Victorian pump house and produces gin, whiskies and vodkas. It's not the first time royalty has been there. It was opened by his sister, Princess Anne, in 2017. Also in Medway, a new exhibition about Charles Dickens was opened in Rochester by the Duchess of Cornwall. Camilla visited the Guildhall Museum on the High Street. She was shown some of the author's artefacts and joined children from St Margaret's at Troy Town School to listen to an extract from Great Expectations by his great-great-grandson, Gerald Dickens.
The educational scheme or course established by Mr. Wopsle's great-aunt may be resolved into the following synopsis. The pupils ate apples and put straws down.
And the final stop on the tour was the Medway Aircraft Preservation Society. Camilla is patron of that organisation as well, which restores historic aircraft. She heard from volunteers about the work they do at their new home and hangar at Rochester Airport and their plans for a new visitor centre, where you can see plenty of pictures and videos from today's visit by heading to kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a child died after being hit by a van near a school in Northfleet. Police, paramedics and the air ambulance were called to Vale Road earlier this morning. It's thought to have happened on a zebra crossing. Police are investigating how an elderly woman ended up with a broken leg at a care home in Medway. The 89-year-old has dementia, and the Kent Online podcast has been told staff at Grace Manor in Gillingham have been unable to confirm how she was injured. The care home says it's cooperating with the investigation and liaising with the family. A man's been charged after allegedly threatening staff and damaging computers in a bathroom at a hotel in Thanet. Police were called to reports of a disturbance at the Holiday Inn Express in Mount Pleasant in Minster last Friday. A 24-year-old's been remanded in custody and is due back in court later this month. The adopted mum of a little boy from Kings Hill, who was so badly abused that he needed his legs amputated, says she hopes his biological mother stays away from him. As we told you in Monday's podcast, Jodie Simpson, who was sentenced to 10 years in prison for abusing Tony Hudgell, has applied for day release from prison. Well, it's feared she could be freed as early as August. Well, Paula Hudgell is asking for restrictions if she is released and has been speaking to our reporter, Cara.
Initially, I was quite upset and quite cross that obviously Jodie feels no remorse or, you know, doesn't realise the enormity of her actions of the longitude of how it's going to affect Tony, to be asking for these privileges, you know, barely 4 years since sentencing. She's already in an open prison, and she's applied for a day release, which just makes a mockery of the whole justice system. You know, it's bad enough that, yeah, they were sentenced to the maximum of 10 years. We knew they would be out in 5 years. But, you know, even to have that now as well before her release date, it just seems like so unfair that it just seems to be the perpetrators seem to get all the privileges, and the poor victim has lifelong injuries. Obviously, we'll be asking for restrictions that she can't become anywhere near where we live, et cetera, so, you know, but no, and to be honest, I don't really want to know either.
No, I wouldn't say you would want to. So obviously you just touched on, you know, you don't want her coming anywhere near Tony. Do you know any of the clauses that will be in her sort of...
She will be given a restriction area. We're hoping it will be the whole of Kent at least. And there'll be restrictions in there for no contact, etc. But hopefully she realises or she understands the magnitude of her... what she's done, that, you know, that she'll just stay away and let him live his life.
Yeah, and speaking of Tony, have you now explained the situation to him yet?
Yeah, I mean, he knows, he understands it age appropriately. You know, he knows his story. He knows, and he knows that he's very, very loved. And, you know, he knows his story. It couldn't be helped that he would know it because of, you know, the amount of hospital appointments we have. His story has to be discussed all of the time throughout those outlets as well. So, you know, he just takes it in his stride.
The Kent Online Podcast with Ballin Maidstone.
At Kent Online today, you can see incredible footage of the moment a double-decker bus went off-road to avoid a traffic jam in Margate. The stagecoach service, which had passengers on board at the time, is seen driving on the pavement and grass verge to get past cars on Tivoli Road. But the company say they're very concerned by the video and are investigating. Thieves have used crowbars and a large strap attached to a vehicle to try and steal a cash machine from a shop in Maidstone. It happened at the Spa on Upper Fant Road late on Sunday night. A large amount of cigarettes were also taken, along with some food. Two men and a woman have been arrested and bailed while investigations continue. Latest figures show a rise in coronavirus deaths in Kent. 42 were recorded in the week to January the 21st, compared to 29 in the previous 7 days. Cases have also gone up by about 14%, with more than 3,800 people testing positive yesterday. 338 are currently being treated for COVID in the county. Hospitals. Struggling schools in Kent and Medway have missed out on support from the government's levelling up plans. You might have heard about this today. 55 areas have been identified as education investment areas to help close the attainment gap for children from disadvantaged backgrounds. But despite places like Thanet underperforming, the average levels across the county are pushed up by areas that are doing well. Well, this is going to be the topic of discussion on The Lowdown on our Facebook Live tonight. And we're also asking on socials where in Kent you think should be levelled up. Well, you can add your comments to that question today. You can also let us know what you think whilst you watch the programme by commenting and sending a message to the panel of experts. It's live from 6. Now, it's emerged cases of child domestic violence in Kent have increased by an incredible 286%. Police made more than 3,900 child protection referrals for domestic abuse in the county last year. That's around 11 a day. Ellie Pirrie is from the NSPCC. Their helpline saw a record number of calls from adults concerned about the well-being of a child. She's been speaking to Leisha.
Yeah, so I mean, it is worrying. Obviously, the helpline received a record number of calls during the pandemic regarding domestic abuse from adults concerned children living in these abusive households. But we can't necessarily, there was a rise in domestic abuse cases. What we know is that the pandemic exacerbated and compounded those issues for those in abusive households. We know with children that were that much at more risk because they were trapped. And we know through contacts to the helpline that abusers were using the context of the virus and the pandemic as a way to withhold children and families from those vital support networks, such as friends, families. Obviously, they're away from schools and those vital support networks. So we can't necessarily, the number of cases of domestic abuse have risen, but it did make the situation that much more worse.
And the NSPCC has, you know, said a lot about victims' law and how maybe this could be a bit of a lifeline for especially these children who are suffering this abuse. Can you just explain to me what exactly victims' law is for people who don't know?
Yeah, of course. So the victims' law is a piece of legislation that the government is currently working on, and it serves as an opportunity to transform the response to victims who are suffering with abuse. And in particular, it gives an opportunity to make sure that children who are victims of domestic abuse, who are now recognised in legislation as victims of domestic abuse, that they have appropriate support in place, particularly in the community, so that children and families can access support and recover no matter where they live. And that's one of the main aims we're asking government to do today.
And I think something that a lot of people would be curious to is, you know, we hear a lot about domestic abuse in adults, but when you're talking about domestic abuse against children, what actually classes as domestic abuse? You know, is it emotional? Is it physical? What exactly classes as abuse against children?
Domestic abuse is very complex for that reason. And though the majority of us think it's between adults, children are very much wrapped up in that abuse. It's never normally just about witnessing abuse between parents. They are physically, emotionally, and mentally withdrawn into that abuse. So for instance, a child could be trying to protect the adult victim against that abuser. They could be coercively controlled and so on. And it really does leave a lasting impression. And that's why the NSPC welcomed greatly that the government recognised that impact on children so that they are victims in legislation. But the next step they need to do to ensure is make sure that that support is in place so that children and families can access no matter where they live, given that like the severity and of the impact of domestic abuse has.
Yeah, definitely. I think that follow-up is really important. Do you hope that, I guess, these figures begin to decrease as we come out of the pandemic? Or is there kind of that fear for you that this could be a longer term trend because we don't know yet whether it did have, you know, the pandemic did have that direct impact or not?
Definitely. I think given the rise in referrals, it is worrying. And I think to say that despite us maybe coming out at the other end of the COVID pandemic, that doesn't mean domestic abuse is ending. Like I said, we know domestic abuse was exacerbated and issues were compounded during the pandemic, given people were trapped in their households. We know how difficult it was for ourselves to be trapped in households, but to be in an abusive one is 10 times worse. It's horrible. So we can't, like, although there's a rise in referrals, we know that this is going to keep going and it will be a long-term thing. And that's why we're pressing government to make sure that there is support in place, given the complexity and the vastness of how domestic abuse is spread across the nation.
Kent Online reports.
We're going to be paying more towards the police in Kent via our council tax from April. A £10 a year rise put forward by the county's police and crime commissioner has been approved. Matthew Scott says the extra cash will go towards funding more officers and technology to take evidence from dashcam footage. Police are now taking DNA swabs from sheep that have been attacked on farms in Kent in a bid to identify the dogs responsible. Officers were called to almost 30 reports of it happening last spring and many farm animals had to be put down. It's feared opening a fish and chip shop near the entrance to Canterbury Cathedral could put people off visiting. Thanet Business Seafarer wants to convert the former Warren's Bakery unit in Burgate into a chippy, but some local residents are worried about the smell of fish near the popular tourist attraction. Elsewhere, the company behind plans for a huge new theme park in North Kent has been given until the 15th of March to submit its bid for review. The £2.5 billion London resort project, which is due to be built on the Swanscombe Peninsula, has been hit by various delays in the past. Well, developers will need to address concerns over how their use of land will affect wildlife. And at Kent Online today, you can see video of one of Britain's strangest boat trips. Well, people have been queuing up to go and see the masts of Sheppey's famous bomb ship, the SS Richard Montgomery, before they're removed this summer. The boat sank during the Second World War and still has 1,400 tonnes of explosives on board.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and they've finally done it. After more than 100 days and 15 league games, Gillingham have won a match. They beat Crewe Alexandra 1-0 at Priestfield last night, the first match in charge for new manager Neil Harris, and he spoke to us after the final whistle.
The build-up has been difficult, relentless, coming to a football club. Is a privileged position, and especially this proud football club, and coming in and in a transfer deadline day, I never envisaged how difficult it was going to be. We had players could be going out, where players could be coming in. It was just, let's be honest, it was carnage for the day. Then you finish at 11 o'clock, and it's like, we've got a game tomorrow. We've got to prepare. So we went really light in training yesterday. We didn't do anything tactical because I didn't want to give false messages to the players and change my mind. So that today was based off what we prepared. We met early. We went off video work, individual work, and the credit for the victory goes to the players. You know, the game plan we had for probably 45 minutes was pretty good. Second half, it was about endeavour, desire to want to win, putting your bodies on the line and defending heroically. And that ultimately, the best chances did fall to us. It's a huge task. You cannot get away from the league table. That's why I'm choosing not to look at the league table too often. All I can focus on is what I can control, and that's making sure I pick the right team, the right tactics, get the players prepared best I can for each game, and we'll see where it takes us in 17 games' time. Today was a good start, but again, just to reiterate what I said yesterday when I came in, I'm here for the long term. I've got assurances from a loyal owner to his football club that he needs to rebuild and wants to build, and it's the project that I like. And that starts tonight. We're seeing performances like that. And the biggest thing for me is while we're building that project over a period of time, at the moment I've got players that can perform for me.
Your arrival seems to have put a few on the gate tonight, and seems to have a positive energy around the place. I'm not sure if you're aware of
the circumstances of Saturday, whether you were there to see it, but it was such a different place tonight.
Yeah, I wasn't here Saturday. I watched the game live, but I wasn't here at the time. And it was a difficult afternoon for everybody. I think, first and foremost, difficult for the fans to see their football team lose 7.
Yeah.
Is not nice, and I'm a football fan myself. So it's not nice. Not nice for the players, not nice for the owner, not nice for anybody. But sometimes you have to hit a bottom, you know, to start rising again. And was that the bottom for the season? Look, we don't know yet, but I hope so. All you can do when you walk through a football door is try and galvanise. I used that word earlier, and I use it again. We try and galvanise the players. And my delight tonight is that I've been able to reward the people that care in the stadium, but also those players as well, because they've had a tough period, and they're in there tonight happy. And well said to them, it's one game, well done, finished, win the next game Saturday.
And connection between the team and the fans is important as well, and at the end you enjoyed that, and it was great to see the almost like a bit of a connection already between you and the fans.
And that's what people want, so that connection between the fans and the pitch comes from maybe my passion on the sideline, the players' effort and determination, but some moments of quality as well. We had some real quality tonight, maybe on the counter-attack more than anything, but the players want to learn, and they will learn and they get better.
And you're busy. It just carries on being busy, doesn't it? Because you've got a big game on Saturday and then another, I think you've got another midweek after that as well, so it's relentless, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've got to be honest, without adding too much fuel to the fire, I would still like to add to the squad if possible. Okay. There's not loads of options, but there's a couple, you know, if we could, and Jeremy's being brilliant, if we can, we can. If we can't, then we won't.
Yeah.
You know, just strength in depth. We just need a little bit more, I think, just to get us through the season, especially in this busy period. But as I found out yesterday, it's not always that easy.
There's three agents out there that maybe of interest or something.
There's three agents, and sometimes you have to look at, are they fit, are they not, when they're going to impact. But like I said, it's a project. You know, so we get a chance to sign a player or two now with a view to supporting us this year, but then maybe, you know, helping us in the future, then, you know, there has to be a short-term gain. A mid-playing a long term.
The Jewels remain just one place off the bottom of the League One table. They're 8 points from safety and travel to take on Ipswich Town on Saturday. Can miracles happen? Can they survive? You can let us know by commenting on the sports section of the website. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can also get access to the ad-free Kent Online premium site by subscribing. Just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Ball in Maidstone, your brand new luxury sports and gaming bar with American pool, table tennis, beer pong, live sports, delicious food, and bottomless brunches.